Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We want to be a place where you can own your faith and take next steps in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe your next step is to seek out a community and join a movement group. Maybe it's supporting movement financially for the first time or using your gifts on a volunteer team. Whatever God is calling you to do, our prayer is that you will step out in faith and let Him lead you. For more information about your next step, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Can we give it up for those who were baptized last weekend? That was... Now, my dad was a pastor, so I've been a part of a lot of baptism services. That was awesome. That was an awesome weekend. So I'm very thankful to be a part of that. If you feel like you missed out, feel like you felt called to be baptized by but didn't last week, there's a QR code in front of you. I encourage you to scan that and scroll down to I want to be baptized. You can be put on that list. And next time we have a baptism service, you'll be notified. You'll know when it's coming. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. Something else before we get going this morning. This Christmas season, and yes, it's Christmas season, we are doing the Movement Church Free Christmas Store for Hilliard, okay? We did it last year and it was phenomenal. It was amazing. We blessed so many families. And this year we're doing it 50% bigger so that we can reach more people and provide more free gifts for families. So if you haven't yet, please buy a gift. Please invest in this. This is an awesome, awesome way for us as Movement Church to bless Hilliard and bless the surrounding communities with free Christmas. The link is in the QR code in front of you. I encourage you to scan that and bless others this Christmas season. On Sunday mornings, we are walking through the book of Matthew, chapter by chapter, almost verse by verse. It's the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they tell the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection on our behalf. So far in Matthew, we've seen Jesus set the groundwork for his kingdom. He's establishing his kingdom and he lays out a new way of living that is actually the true way of living that God originally created humanity for. Throughout Matthew, we've seen Jesus stand against temptation, give us the model for how to kill sin in our lives. We've discussed his teachings on the Beatitudes, on judging, and how he's the fulfillment of the Old Testament. We've even seen Jesus be obedient in baptism. And last week, we celebrated that as people followed his example. The main question we've been asking throughout Matthew is, if Jesus is our king, what should our kingdom behavior look like? If Jesus is truly Lord of our lives, if he's king over the world, which he is, what should our, as Christians, response be to him? What should our response be to the king? And church, simply by being here, you're taking a step in obedience. We're living this out. We saw it in baptisms. We sing it in musical worship. We see it in our movement groups. We're living out the kingdom of God here and now. And today we're gonna be in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. So if you would, turn there with me. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 is what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his disciples and the large crowds that have been following him. And Jesus is teaching practical kingdom conduct and behavior. And he challenges both the worldview of the people following him and our own. Jesus has already talked about prayer, but here in Matthew 7, he takes a slightly different approach. So if you would, read Matthew 7, 7 through 11 with me. It says this: "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children asks for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him. We don't serve a God who is ignorant of our needs. He created us, so therefore he knows exactly what we need. And prayer is an opportunity to make those needs known to God. Make those needs known directly to a father. Prayer is our opportunity to speak directly to our Father in heaven. And while prayer is part of practicing our faith and something that we do make a habit out of, it's also a privilege. It's a privilege because we are speaking with familial intimacy. Through Jesus, we are now a part of the family of God. And this is why Jesus points us to the Father. A few weeks ago, as we discussed prayer, we said that proper prayer is an open line of communication between God and his people. It's an open line of communication, and Jesus encourages us to ask the Father, seek the Father, knock at his door. We're not rejected by our Father. It's quite the opposite. We serve a perfect Father who knows how to provide for us. And when we come asking, he doesn't scoff and turn us away. When we come to our Father with our needs, he hears us. He provides for us. He protects us. And this is the role of a true father. And Jesus paints this picture for us. I want to remind us of a few things that we've seen throughout this Sermon on the Mount before we continue to move on. But earlier in this sermon, Jesus says this, in chapter 5, verse 3, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. This is Jesus' teaching on prayer and his kingdom. He continues in Matthew 5, verse 9, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Matthew 6, 6, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Matthew 6, 9 through 11, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And then finally, Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and he will give you everything you need. This is how we're supposed to pray and communicate with God. Prayer isn't about saying the right words. There's no right formula. It's not about saying things with the right cadence. It's talking to a listening and loving Father and trusting him to fulfill your needs. And this is what we see in Matthew 7. Interestingly, you might have noticed, Jesus doesn't say pray. He doesn't talk about prayer, or he doesn't say prayer. He does talk about prayer, you know what I mean. Instead, he uses ask, seek, and knock. And while they're all similar, they're worth looking through because they have different implications. And in each of these sayings, ask, seek, knock, we have the command to keep on doing the required action. And we see this from the original language, even though it might not be in your translation, but it's a continued dependence on the Father. It's an ongoing thing, not just a one-time request, but a life lived in dependence on God. And when it comes to making our request known to God, in verse 7, it says, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Now it needs to be said, if we ask for something unnecessary, the answer is probably gonna be no. More on that later. We're asking God to fulfill our needs, not our wants. The posture that we are asking in is not that of a spoiled child who's been given everything and yet still wants more. Actually, it's the opposite when it comes to our standing before God. The Greek word that Jesus used in this passage as he was teaching that we translate as ask is the Greek word aiteo. And it simply means to beg, to crave, or to ask for out of need. This is the posture that we come to when we pray. When we come before God, we're coming as beggars with nothing to offer him. We're not trying to buy something off of him because we have nothing to give. We're in complete dependence on him, relying on him to provide as a father provides for their children. In the same way that your four-year-old can't give you anything when they ask for a glass of water, we have nothing to give besides our request to God. When we ask of God, we are submitting ourselves to God. When you ask, you release control of your situation to God. You're saying, God, I need you to provide. I'm asking you to provide for me. Take care of this thing that I can't do. Take care of this thing that I can do. I'm asking you to provide. We're putting control of the situation in God's hands. Prayer in scripture is rarely about future long-term desires. It's almost always about daily needs. But Jesus says something that raises a question for us. He says, you will receive what you ask for. So can we ask for anything and expect to receive it? Well, not exactly. Again, based on what Jesus has already told us about prayer, his kingdom, his family, Jesus is telling us to ask the Father from a place of humility and out of need, not out of want. So then what are our needs? What do we need? Do we need clothes? Yeah. Do we need designer clothes? Probably not. Do we need a house? Yeah. Do we need living quarters? Yeah. Do we all need mansions? No. Do we need food? Yeah. Do we need 5-course meals every day? No. Lord, give me my daily bread. So what are our needs then? What can we ask God? How do we ask God? What are we supposed to ask him? I say, and what I think Jesus is instructing us, ask him anything. Ask him anything. Currently, my wife and I, we live in a 1-bedroom apartment. We love it. It's simple. It's quaint. It's quiet most of the time. The walls are a little thin sometimes. But Lord willing, in the next year, we'd like to purchase our first home. We're praying for that. In the coming years, we'd love to have children. We're praying for that. In the long term, we'd love to provide for our children financially. Whether they go off to college, when they get married, when they buy a house, we have dreams. We have goals. We want to build the kingdom in this way through our family. So are we allowed to pray for those things? Yes, because prayer puts the burden of responsibility on God. He's the one who's going to provide those things. And if he doesn't, praise God. Because God is all we need. Is God satisfying enough for me that we could live in this apartment for the rest of our lives and be satisfied with nothing else? Be hard. We can pray for anything, but for us, God is everything. Therefore, whatever comes our way, we can be content. When it comes to a house, when it comes to children, when it comes to a business, retirement, college, a future spouse, your food today, ask God for those things. And then be satisfied in him. And whatever he gives you is gain. Your heavenly Father gives good gifts to those who ask him. Let him hear your requests. And let him be the one who provides for what you truly need. And all we truly need is God. Ask him for more of himself and he'll give it to you freely. Is God enough for you? When you ask, are you asking for God or are you asking for what God can give you? When we ask, we are asking as children who are completely dependent on a father to provide. When it comes to your needs, when it comes to your goals in life, who are you asking? Who are you looking to for provision? Because if you're not asking God the Father, then you're putting your trust in something else. Are you asking yourself to provide? Are you asking your job to provide? Again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't work hard or take responsibility. We should do those things. We should be diligent in our work. But who gave you your job? Who gave you your life? Who gave you your body and the ability to work? Are we overlooking blessings that God has already given us? Who are you asking to provide? And what are you looking to find? Jesus says, keep on seeking and you will find. So what has Jesus told us to seek? Well, that's what we already saw in Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We don't seek first to be strong ourselves. We don't seek first to have strong families. We don't seek first strong morals or values or a strong job that will provide. He has established an invincible kingdom. And when we seek this kingdom first, all things are added to us, like strong families. Seeking the kingdom becomes our main focus. And when we do that, seeking becomes the avenue by which God provides. Seeking the kingdom becomes the avenue by which God provides. If we seek the kingdom, God is faithful to give everything we need. As we pray, be aligned with God's desires for this world. Read scripture, seek God's will, prayerfully discuss with others the requests you've made known to God. Worship with your voice, worship with your money, worship with your thoughts and your actions. Let your practices lead you to trust that God is gonna provide as you seek his kingdom. Faith-based prayer like that leads us to faith-based action. They're not inseparable. Therefore, seek the kingdom when dealing with your children. Seek the kingdom as you seek a future spouse. Seek the kingdom before you start that business. Seek the kingdom before you retire, as you retire. Seek the kingdom while you go to class. Seek the kingdom when the sun rises and the sun sets. Seek the kingdom and watch God provide. If you lost your wallet, hopefully you would not just sit on the couch and say, well, I hope it just falls into my lap, right? No, you would search everywhere for it. And even if you had to continue on with your day, it would stick in your brain. It would be in your head constantly. Seeking implies continued action until the thing is found. Until the kingdom of heaven is fully established here on earth, keep singing, seeking it. Seek the kingdom through every part of your day. And as it says in 2 Peter, he'll provide everything you need for life and godliness. Knocking too implies diligence and persistence. When someone knocks on our door, first instinct is to hide, right? But Jesus encourages us, if we're the one knocking, keep knocking. Keep knocking. God isn't annoyed by your knocking on his door. He'll open it for you. Keep knocking. Be patient, but keep knocking. Be diligent, but keep knocking. Maybe it's been a while since you've knocked on the Father's door. He knows it's you by the way you knock. He'll answer. Trust in him. Trust your Father to provide. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:4-7. It's beautiful. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. This is how we properly pray. We ask, we seek, we knock. We ask, trusting that the Father will provide. We seek, seeking the kingdom above all else. And we knock, regularly approaching the Father's house. A big idea this morning is proper prayer leads us to trust a loving Father. Proper prayer leads us to trust our loving Father. I hope you gathered that from this morning. Maybe you didn't have a good father growing up though. Maybe he wasn't around, or maybe when he was around, it wasn't good. Maybe you have father hunger. Be encouraged and trust that your heavenly Father is perfect and he will feed you. He will never leave you or turn you away. He is perfect and he always takes care of his children. You just need to ask. Fortunately, unfortunately, passages like this sometimes get twisted. And they get read incorrectly. And they make God into a vending machine where you put a quarter in and something pops out. This passage will get read at times, keep on asking and you'll receive anything you want. Keep on seeking and you can find whatever you're looking for, no matter what it is. Knock, the door to wealth and prosperity flies wide open. However, this contradicts everything that Jesus has said up until this point. In Matthew 6, 31 through 33, Jesus says, "Don't worry about these things, saying, what will you eat, what will you drink, or what will you wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Don't be dominated by what you eat. Don't be dominated by what you drink or what you wear." Unbelievers think this way. Trust your Father to provide food for you, to provide clothing for you. Seek him first. Trust him to provide what you need. When we ask, we're not asking so that we can consume. We are asking so that God can provide. We're asking God to be our Father. Jesus wraps up his point by addressing the parents, but we all have things to learn from this. He says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask?" Something that the biblical authors do so well. And Jesus, knowing that his words would be written down, subtly reminds the reader of something we've already seen in the book of Matthew. A few short chapters ago in chapter 3, Jesus was baptized. The Father was there. He made his presence known and felt like a good father does. And then the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. And in one of those trials, the enemy tempts Jesus with stones, saying, "Turn them into bread." But Jesus, knowing that his Father would provide, when the enemy comes and says, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread," Jesus says, "No. The scriptures say people don't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So when Jesus says, "Ask, seek, knock, your Father will answer," when he says to good parents that good parents give their children bread instead of stone, he's reminding those listening that God is faithful to provide. Even in the most difficult trials and temptations, when you're by yourself, when you're hungry, when your flesh is crying out, in his temptation, Jesus knew that his Father would provide for him and that his Father wouldn't give him rocks. Jesus had the ability to make those stones into bread. but he trusted his father. He chose to reject himself and rejecting providing for himself, and he chose to trust his father. We all have the ability to work, to make things happen for ourselves, but we ought to trust our father to provide first. We seek the kingdom first. We trust that our father will provide. And then, like Jesus did, we work hard with what we have. And we watch God provide. When we seek the kingdom first, everything else is added. Oftentimes, we rely on the things that God has established rather than God himself. When times are hard, we're tempted to rely on our job alone, rely on a promotion, rely on interest rates in order for things to work out. Instead of relying on the giver, we rely on the gifts that we've already been given. And then when things do work out, it's easy to give ourselves credit. The promotion came from my diligence, my abilities, my skills, something I've developed. The material things I have are only because of my success. Again, we rely on who those things came from in the first place, on from where those things came from in the first place. When we're in a regular routine of prayer, our hearts and our minds, our attitudes and our actions become aligned with the Father and reminds us of where all these good things come from. Psalm 34:10 says this, "Even strong lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing." Proper prayer leads us to trust our loving Father. So start practicing, start praying. Proper prayer starts with daily discipline. If God has given you faith, you're responsible to do something with it. Jesus gives a great example of prayer in Matthew 6. We read it earlier. If you're not in the habit of prayer, follow this example. It's the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's the old way of saying it. Follow that example. Are you spending time in prayer on a regular basis, asking God for what you need? Are you seeking the kingdom with your thoughts and actions and prayers? Are you regularly knocking on the Father's door? As parents, are you living this gift out to your children? Let me encourage you, no matter how old they are, pray over them, pray with them. Pray together as a family before bed. Pray over your children before they get on the bus. Show them the Heavenly Father through the way that you lead. You're reflecting the Heavenly Father when you give them dinner. You're reflecting your Heavenly Father when you work at your job, not only for your children to provide for them, but also to those you work with. You're even reflecting your Father when you discipline your children so that you can raise them up in the way they should go. These are good gifts that we give to our children. This is how we show them the love of the Father. Proper prayer not only leads us as individuals to the Father, but it also leads our children and it leads those around us to him. Maybe you're young, you're in college. Maybe you're older, you're empty nesters. Maybe you're married. Maybe you're like me and you're married, but you don't have kids yet. This all still applies to us because we're supposed to reflect the Father to the world, the love of the Father to the world, as Jesus did. While prayer is an individual action, it's something that we all participate in. It's why we all say amen out loud at the end of a prayer. It's not only an individual thing, it's an opportunity to worship the Father together. Last time we talked about prayer, I challenged you all to set an alarm to go off every day, the same time, to remind you to pray at a time where you know you're gonna have at least 3 minutes to pray. Even if it's 30 seconds, it's fine. Maybe that's going well. I hope so. If you weren't here last time, I challenge you with that. I extend that to you. If you fell off last time, get back on. It's okay. There's no shame in falling. It's honorable to get back up after you've fallen down. So get back up. The challenge still stands. Set an alarm to go off every day at a time you know you'll be free to pray. And remind yourself that the greatest gift that God ever gave us was Jesus. That he took our place on the cross. That he laid in the grave for us. And that he was resurrected 3 days later, as we all will be one day if we put our faith in him. Jesus is Lord. Ask him, seek his kingdom, knock at the Father's house. Follow Jesus' example, trust the Father. Trust the Father. He's always faithful to provide. Let me pray. Father, we are so grateful that we have the ability to pray to you directly whenever we need. Lord, it is a privilege to talk to you. It is a privilege to knock at your door. Father, we ask that you be with us. We ask that you go before us. And Lord, we ask that you give us everything we need today for life and godliness. Lord, we seek your kingdom in our world. We seek your kingdom in our jobs. We seek your kingdom in our marriages with our kids. We seek your kingdom first above all else. And Father, we knock at your door knowing that you're gonna open it because you've already welcomed us into your family. May we knock diligently. May we make our requests known to you, and may you provide, God. Lord, we want more of you. If you are all we get, may we be satisfied. God, we love you and we trust you, Father. We trust you. Provide for us. And thank you, thank you, thank you for providing Jesus for us. We did not deserve him. We do not deserve him. And we do not deserve your spirit. But we thank you for providing for us as a good father does. We love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Movement Church podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We hope wherever you are, this message encourages you to take the next step in your relationship with Jesus. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.